Or saying something really inappropriate.
What's up, guys? It's the Awkward Dreadhead, and Michaela's here.
I am here.
Corey's here.
What's up?
Corey has a full beard, guys.
Full.
It's luxurious.
Yeah. It's not one of those, you know, hair. Not hair a pussy things beard. From Jamal. Jamal's here.
This is what a man's beard looks like.
Okay, Jessica's here.
In a couple months, maybe.
I am also here.
Luke's here.
Sup!
And Chelsea's here.
Hey, everybody.
Amanda's back here.
Vote for me.
Wait, for what?
What are you running
for? To be here more.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Listeners, just a listener.
You know what, guys?
Vote for
listener,
me.
Yeah, say what. I really don't want to put that poll out there. I feel like that's just opening the door for some bullshit.
Send
in
an email.
Yeah, send in an email. Don't play that. Don't say yeah. Fuck that bitch. Okay, guys, we're going to read a couple comments that we got, and not a lot, and then we're going to talk about a couple things. Cool?
Cool.
Sounds good?
Sure.
Who just snapped?
Chelsea, you don't recognize the snap of your
woman? No. Now, when her vagina snaps, I do.
Wow, what?
Vagina snaps.
Wait, it doesn't clap, it snaps.
It snaps.
Oh my God. Sounds like a problem.
It might be a problem, babe.
Oh my God.
It should sound like macaroni.
Ew.
Yeah. Whoa.
All right, moving right along.
All right, actually, speaking of that, Luke, you have a comment.
Oh, yay!
I've been recognized by the audience.
I actually like the new kid, Luke. I think he comes from a good place, whether I agree or disagree. I am curious, are you a take-charge type of guy on dates, or are you more, let's see what the lady has to say first? I don't even know where that came from, but, you know, Luke, answer that.
Oh, I'm such a bitch on dates. I'm very, very passive on dates. I try not to be, like, too pushy.
I'm pussy as shit.
No, really? No one got that at all from your personality. Not one person. but, I mean, in general, you know, just kind of see where things go. And, yeah, I'm not like Charles, just trying to get in there.
Yeah, you got
to. I mean, but if it happens, it happens. And I'm a happy camper.
Oh, I'm going to make it happen. Or you get on the boat. You know what I mean?
The boat. I remember that.
Yes.
I remember that story.
Yeah. Michaela, I don't know what this means, but it says, can Michaela say I'm back in the microphone, please? What the fuck does that mean?
I'm back.
Oh, that's so cute.
That was weird.
They're gonna record that and use it for their
fetish thing.
Yeah. Like, this is ASMR horny shit.
Maybe they just thought you were quiet last time and wanted to hear it again.
I'll try to speak up more.
Y'all really made it creepy.
Sorry.
It was like 0 to 100. Just kidding.
All right, you guys are talking about the autonomy of children, which is crazy. You think allowing your child to make their own decisions is okay? Is it a good thing? Should a 12, 13, 14-year-old be able to consent to sex, drinking, alcohol, or smoking? Should we let them vote as well?
It's kind of an extremist look.
Yeah.
Like, just how we said, going from 0 to 100.
We went from being like, yes, let your child decide if they want to wear, like, blue shoes or white shoes for the day, and now you're being
can they fuck?
Like, what the fuck is in your head, man?
There's either yes or no. No spectrum.
I'm sorry, Amanda. I apologize. We're just reading comments from, like, the past episode, so you don't have to jump in or feel like you need to jump in. Okay.
Oh, I wasn't planning on jumping on that one.
All right,
just
Jessica.
Watch the shit show.
Oh, shit. Am I hearing Jessica correctly? If a man doesn't want to impregnate his girlfriend or wife because she's pro-choice, he's wrong?
If he doesn't want to impregnate his girlfriend or wife because he's pro-choice, then they shouldn't be his girlfriend or wife. Like, if you're having a discussion about having children together, whether you're pro-life or pro-choice shouldn't matter, because you're discussing having a child together and you want to have that child. Like, it should matter when you're in the relationship, but, like, if you're at the point of your relationship where you're talking about kids, you've kind of gone too far to be like...
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's,
you know what I mean?
That's also coming from that story where, like, it just sounded like that dude was just saying
he was just
stuff as, like, a throw-off.
Yeah, he
so
was
I,
just
being... I actually... So... coming to that, actually, I had a conversation at work about that same thing because I was actually editing it at work, but I shouldn't be doing. I'm sorry. but I we started having a conversation about it, and it's funny how like everyone took it as him being him joking or him being an asshole or being red flags. Like I remember from her point of view, she said she went to the bathroom, came back. He said, "I'm sorry, but I have feelings too." Like, why did we take it as him being? Corey, you have something to say?
Oh, okay. I just like the whole thing. I thought was weird. Like, I just remember the whole question being.
I just thought it was interesting how we all. Well, I don't know what Miss Langley had a lot to say about it, but like how everyone took it as, oh, this guy's being an asshole. He doesn't want to be with her for real. Like, why don't like maybe that's how he truly feels.
Maybe it was just a weird way. It would seem like a weird situation to say something like that.
I do agree that being with someone for a year, maybe that's he took too long. I don't know.
She made it sound like they really wanted kids or something, like before he said that. That's what I remember.
It sounded like, from what I remember, is that they were having a conversation and she was talking about, like, I want to have kids with you. And he was like, no. Because you're pro-choice.
Yeah, I thought that was
very strange.
And
then it's just
strange.
Like, well, then, if then that's not the right person. Or he's saying it because he doesn't want to be with her.
Yeah,
or,
but for both parties, like, if you're pro, I'm not going to say pro-choice anymore, I just can't get it right. But if you're against,
whatever.
Yeah, if you're against abortion, if you're against abortion, don't date someone who is for abortion.
I remember saying a year is way too long to not have a conversation about if you want kids or not. That's what I remember saying about it, because it seems like they have not had too many conversations about having kids. And then when she brought it up, he was like, oh, no. And that's something that she would have known earlier if they would have had a prior conversation about it.
What if they both had the pro-choice, pro-life argument, and they just didn't, like, she thought she could maybe change him?
Well,
that's her problem.
I mean, honestly,
fuck her. Damn.
I
just
say,
he's not wrong.
Right. The thing about being pro-choice is you're not going to choose abortion every time. Pro-choice is like you have the right to your own body, right? The right to an abortion if you need it, if you want it, if you like have to have it for a reason. If it's not like, oh, oops, I'm pregnant, let's get an abortion. Like, that's not what people
do. But the thing is, like, you're saying that, but the dude has no rights once he's impregnated someone. So he should be able to make the decision of, I'm not going to do this.
But if he's pro-life and his pro-choice girlfriend says, I want a child, you're both saying we want this life to happen.
Again, he doesn't have any rights. He doesn't have any rights once he's impregnated her. I think that's what we're missing here, is that it's okay for you because you have the rights to say whatever, but he has no rights once he has given her his seed.
Then he should protect himself, wear a condom.
Exactly,
and
there you go.
You know?
There you go.
And if that's really his problem, if he's never going to see the other side, which is fine, he shouldn't be with somebody that's pro-choice.
Facts. You shouldn't be with someone if they
are... That's a him problem.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. We're going to move on. I listened to the podcast where Jamal said, women with kids are looking for men to help them with their kids. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't need the help. It's not easy chasing kids working off one income. Their dad sends money here and there, but ain't no point getting child support because that's a whole other problem. You probably don't have kids, Jessica. So you don't understand trying to date men and them changing their mind after 2 or 3 months of the whole package realization. Though I don't agree with him on everything, I think Charles is honest as he can be when it comes to his experience dating girls. I don't really have a question. I just like listening to you guys and believe more women need honesty in their everyday life. By the way, is Jamal African American or is he like white Jamal from House Party?
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So moving on.
What?
That's so funny.
so funny.
All right.
But she said she listens to us all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
It's great.
Great
thank
caller.
You.
You're a great listener.
All right, so funny thing is, the next thing we were supposed to talk about was feminism. But interesting enough, I got this email this morning, early this morning, from a feminist, and I'm going to read
wait,
every...
from a radical feminist?
I'm going to say radical.
Feminist?
Okay. I'm going to say radical. I'm going to read it. I would prefer Jessica read it, but I feel like it'd be better coming from me. Okay. Charles' hatred for feminism is why women in the modern age are suffering and need to push forward. It's a movement to put an end to sexism, sexist exploitation, and oppression. Why is that such an issue? Feminism strives for equality of the sexes, not superiority for women. You want to tie women down and keep them traditional so you can control us, but I will not be controlled or micromanaged by any man. You and all your guests, co-hosts, whatever you call them, spew hatred on the World Wide Web, what are you, 50? And should be ashamed of yourself. You deny the gender pay gap, but take a poll of the women in your audience or your panel. Why do jobs women take low paying and jobs men take higher paying? You won't and can't understand that. You are pathetic, and your podcast is pathetic, and I definitely tell people to stay far away from your far-right oppressive podcast.
You all right?
That was Charles. So much effort for so much hatred.
Charles, did you write that for yourself?
Yeah, to myself,
to make controversy?
That sounds like a lot of listening, right. If we're pure garbage.
I want to say something really quick. You and all your guests, co-hosts, however you call them, spew hatred on the world. The women on here believe in feminism. Yeah. So I don't know what hatred you think we're spewing.
Yeah, everybody has different opinions, I would say.
Yeah.
I think we all have had different opinions. So grouping us all into one view and saying you hate us because we're like some crazy extremist
far right could never.
That's where I came from. Maybe she only heard like 5 minutes of one podcast
or a TikTok video
or something that you made like
30 seconds
ago.
That was
hey or, lady, I only shave my armpits once a month. I'm on your side.
Bam.
I don't shave at all. So
I'll say I personally I don't believe in feminism. I don't personally believe in feminism.
Oh my god.
As far as women
double down a little.
As far as women they could just die. We don't
babe. Oh my god.
You also have to take everything that at least what Charles said knowing that he's just
no, okay, let me just say this. I obviously believe in equal rights for women, but if you actually think everything is going to be equal, you're delusional. Nothing is ever going to be equal. It is what it is. I personally, my personal opinion is I've never seen feminism in its true form. That's my personal opinion. Mm. There's always going to be an inequality, and it's just how it is. You know what I mean? We read that one comment about how in the army... in the army, the women have to do less than the men to get in. Is that fair? Are you protesting that? No, you're not protesting that. So suck my ding ding.
I'm glad you edited that a little bit.
I have seen feminism in its true form, but it comes in small doses. It's not a big movement. It's small doses of equal rights in people in the workplace.
Yeah. It's the women who just go out there and work hard and do it instead of making a big fuss about stuff. Like, there's, like, the people sitting on this couch right now, most of these women are pretty successful and make probably more money than some of these men sitting here.
Only Michaela.
And it's because, but still, she, you know what I mean? But it's because they worked hard in their fields. Like,
Michaela,
she's not out here complaining about having to fight men. She just worked hard and earned what she has. That's what we should all be doing. Like, I don't understand.
I will say my lab is all women ran.
Yeah.
Yes, so, ma'am.
Another thing too, like,
we love that.
We all have advanced degrees.
There's a woman at my job that she listens to this podcast. Shout out to B. I'm not going to say your full name. But, like, if she was here, she would, like, she hates feminism. Like, she hates what feminism has become. Yeah, she thinks that it's just a bunch of whining and it's just like people who want, like, you know, advantages over people.
And I like to say that those people aren't really feminists.
Yeah, I agree.
Those are, like, man-hating
I like to call them womanists.
Womanists.
That's not going to catch on.
No. You're not going to trademark that.
Being a womanist is actually good.
Why?
The definition of a womanist is someone who loves and treats women good.
Really?
I think that's what it is.
That's a womanizer. Womanizer is a player.
We're off topic.
Okay.
Well, thanks for all of your time and consideration. We appreciate it.
Thanks for writing in.
Thanks for your views.
Read some. Listen to some more stuff and send us some more angry stuff. Oh, okay. We're going to have a quick topic. In a 2023 study, and actually, I was looking for the study. I lost it, so just bear with me on this. A 2023 study suggests that since the pandemic, employees who have chosen to stay home and not come into work have missed out on raises and promotions. 64% of these employees are women. Should employees who have chosen to stay home and work have the same access to promotions employees who choose to go in and work have?
Fuck yeah.
Okay. If you're doing the same job, yeah.
Go ahead.
I think that the pandemic showed everybody that corporate America is just stupid. We don't need skyscrapers. We don't need to be in the office every fucking day. It showed us what's ridiculous in our culture. And if you're getting your shit done and you're doing it at home, then yeah, you should be entitled to raises and promotions. There's no reason you should. So I think that study is dumb.
Corey.
So the study said that people missed out for
out on promotions and raises because they're not coming into the office.
Is that self-reported though? I mean, how do you gather that data?
I'm assuming that they're just asking employees or the
that could just be a lot
because a lot of people could get passed off on a promotion and not know why. They could maybe say something, oh, it's because I didn't go into the office or something.
There's also though you used to have to go back in the day, corporate America, right? Oh my God, my brain just.
It's the salad.
Yes, the baby.
Pregnancy brain.
Eating my fucking brain. No. Like going to work meetings, right, or happy hours, and like people would do business, quote unquote, like outside of work. So if you like didn't go to those happy hours or those meetings, you would lose out on a lot of stuff. Yep. And then the next day, you'd be like, "What are you talking about? I thought I was a salesperson. Yep. Oh no, we gave it to this person because they were there. So not being in an office, I can see how people would be missing out on things because you're not part of some of those conversations. But the fact is that in this day and age, we have the technology to just do the work at home. So there's no need to go back to the office.
I agree with that. I also think like some women, like they have kids and just easier for them to be home versus like paying a babysitter for that type of shit.
Yeah, because child care is very
expensive. Yeah, it's very expensive. Yeah. But I will say the whole happy hour thing or just spending more time with like your coworkers and management, I think that's, would you say it's over time? It's not like just like, happy hour on Monday and all of a sudden you're getting a raise.
It's a game. It's like it's part of the game.
Yeah, it's part of the game.
I don't think it's right really that you like miss out on promotion for that.
So there is actually, I was listening to another podcast. I'm not going to say this name because we're on this podcast. But that is actually a thing that workforce researchers are hoping will trend into 2023 and beyond.
The difference between
proximity-based promotions and results-based promotions. Proximity-based promotions being just like you said, this person, you know, is more frequent, you know, shows their face more, is more outspoken in meetings versus results, getting promotions based on the merit of the work you do. And because people are working from home now, it has leveled the playing field. So at least with millennial generation-based managers and, you know, beyond that, we are hoping to move more towards that results-based promotion model. Now, I can't speak for Gen X and boomers. I think they still love working in the office, but hopefully that trend does level out soon.
Wait, so you're saying that you want people to be more... I agree with that.
Meritocracy.
Results-based versus proximity. Yeah, I actually agree with that.
I mean, I'm not... I think that you should maybe mandatory be... You should have to come into the office maybe like once a month.
Twice.
And put that evil on
once
me.
Once or twice a month.
Yeah.
And then go to like a social event once or twice a month. Because you are working in a company and there is that type of social part of working in a company.
Do you think managers should be able to know what you're doing, see what you're doing?
Oh, like this, like seeing what's on your laptop type of shit?
Well, yeah.
I think you should report what you're doing, but I don't think they should be able to like see what you're doing all the time. That's what they do in offices. Mm-hmm. They like they have a monitor on everybody's computer, and if you look up stuff that they don't want you to look at, it's like, whatever, man, I'm just looking something up real quick, and I'm here at work. Why does it have to be a whole fucking thing?
If you're accomplishing your job, it shouldn't matter. Yeah. Obviously, you're doing, like, looking at porn at work. Stop it.
Yeah. Like, what?
You have your phone.
Why?
Like, people do that.
But why should you stop it?
No,
what if you get your
work
done?
That's not appropriate.
Viruses.
My work is done.
What else am I supposed to do?
Go home if your work is done.
Do it on your phone.
No, I can't come home looking at porn. Chelsea doesn't mind.
That's not true. I do not stop it.
Sorry, I gotta work 60 hours of overtime.
No, don't do it in public. That's how you get...
That's how you go to jail.
That's how you have to...
You just sit in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's how you become a predator.
The bathroom is still public.
You get charges now. It's not
the stall.
Turn your phone off.
All it needs is one child in the vicinity, and you're on a predator's list.
Speaking of that.
It's the same thing.
Wait, which
what is that? We're not doing that. Nothing with children.
No, it's too late. You already brought it up. Should pedophiles be vilified or medically assisted?
Medically assisted.
Both? Wait, hold on, home. We're going to go around. Michaela, go first. Vilified or medically assisted? And then once we go around, everybody can... Wait, it's not a medical, it's not diet, no. Not yet, at least.
Yeah. It will be.
Oh, I'm sure.
I feel like it will be, yeah. Can I skip me?
Go, we're going to come back to you.
There's no escape.
Corey.
What was it? Should
they be vilified or should they be medically assisted?
I think both. I think jail, but like, give them like assistance, I don't know.
Okay, I'll
I don't
take
know,
that.
Help
Jamal.
Them, but like,
you're not a scientist.
I'm not a scientist. I gotta say, I'm not a scientist.
Go ahead, Jamal.
They obviously need some kind of medical and mental assistance. But, I mean, I also don't think that putting them in jail with all the other people who have committed different crimes is a good solution either.
No.
Yeah, I agree. Jessica. This might hit hard with Jessica.
No, I just want to say there's a difference between someone who's labeled a pedophile when they're 18, going out with someone who's 17 or 16, and someone who's 35, going out with a 12-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, people who are 18 and going out with someone who's 16, labeled pedophile for the rest of their lives, I feel like that's an...
Extreme.
Extreme, mm-hmm. and an issue, and, like, maybe... How can like we resolve that without putting them on like?
Well, let's stick to 35 to 15.
35 to 15, then yeah, I think that needs some like mental health assessments and issues and help, and then also like let's not let them around children.
Yeah. Okay, Amanda.
Okay, so let's be realistic here. The majority of people, at least that we are aware of, you know, in common knowledge and news and things, that are found guilty of being attracted to children, aren't very proactive in seeking their own medical assistance, their own therapy, and their own help. In fact, they're more likely to feel emboldened to get away with it. So, with that said... I'm perfectly fine with corporal punishment against them. If I woke up and suddenly had very strange urges that were foreign to me, I would check myself into an asylum. But we know for a fact that a lot of those folks are not doing that. In fact, they just feel more emboldened, like I said, to get away with those kinds of things.
Luke.
So I would actually disagree with that in that if you adhere to the idea that you can't control what you're attracted to, and I feel like a lot of people that are attracted to people under the, like, minors, do feel a lot of shame. Mm-hmm. And it's natural human urge, sexual urges are natural. I mean, you can't control that. And I think if it was less stigmatized, that where you could go somewhere and say, hey, I'm attracted to this and I do not want to be. Now, is that going to be everyone? No. I mean, you know, nothing's ever perfect like that. But I think if there was an option for that, I do think... And it was much less stigmatized, and, like, their name wouldn't be out there. I think because there's a lot of fear. If they come forward, mm-hmm. that's going to be out there forever. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a do-or-die situation of, as soon as I do this, I'm labeled, I'm going to be on a list. Sure. And there's a lot of fear that are holding people back, and just in terms of other mental health stigmas... Which obviously in certain areas we've made a lot of progress as a society. People have come forward and say, hey, I have these issues. But I feel like that's one area where there's so much stigma because the act, when people do act on that, is so heinous.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, Chelsea.
I think it depends on the person. Because, like, Luke brought up a really good point. If you're someone who is like, hey, listen, I know this is wrong. I do not like this. I need to figure out how to control this. I do not ever want to act on this. And they're willing to get the help and stay to treat. It's like, to me, in that sense, like, almost like an addict. Like, you have people who are willing to get help and try to stay clean and change their lives. And then people who are like, whatever, you know, I am how I am. So I think it depends on the person on how they should be treated.
So real quick, I think like what Luke said, I think that there are people out there that need that want help and need help. And then there are also criminals who have these urges.
Yeah.
I also want to say this personally, and this is just my opinion. I mean, I don't think most people are going to admit this, but I think 80 to 90% of men would date, if they were allowed to, would date a 14, 15, 16-year-old. I think that they would have sex with one. I think that they would date one. They would marry one. I 100% believe that because
If there wasn't the stigma,
and
it is happening on the other side of the world.
And if it's happening on the other side of the world.
If you look at history,
that's how it used to be. You know, once you were able to.
Is this a question about people that have that attraction, or is it about people that like act on it? It's about both.
Both.
I think if you actually act on it, then I.
That's the difference. Like,
I do agree with you. I do agree with you, Luke. But I don't know. It's such a heinous thing.
You're saying that.
I think that you should have medical assistance. I don't like the word vilify, but like, yeah, it's such a heinous thing that like, it's hard for me not to.
Because we're talking about like easy scenarios. There are pedophiles. Like there are grown men who will sexually molest babies and toddlers. Toddlers. No, that is true things. Babies, toddlers, like 5-year-olds. Like there are people who. That's what I'm saying. There are people. There are very much extremes to this, and like some of it is fucking sickening to think about.
My thing is like, let's say they keep getting mental help and it just doesn't work.
Well, that's a good question. That's a good question.
Back in
if
the old days.
Continues to get this help.
And it just doesn't work.
Well, then I would say put them on a registry like we have now. If they just cannot. They
does a registry prevent action?
I don't know. Or, like, what is it?
I don't know.
Medical castration?
That's the answer for
that. Yes, medical castration.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, if it. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Ship them off to an island.
I don't know. That might make them angry, though. Right, you don't know.
Medical castration just stops the person from having sex with them.
Exactly.
They can still do things to kids.
It inhibits the sexual urges.
Okay. It stops their sexual urges.
There is no sex at all.
Got you. Okay. The reason I brought this up was I saw I saw something on TV where they were this one pedophile, which they blurred his face, but they, you know, obviously for good reason. But he does not want to be attracted to kids. He does not want to be attracted to like 15, 16 year old boys. But he is. And he wishes he could get help, but it's not, you know, he doesn't want to, you know, sound the alarm, as they would say. You know what I mean? And then people start vilifying him. So, I do think that these people do need help. And until they commit a crime, you know what I mean, then we can talk about jail time or prison time. But, like, people need help, but we shouldn't, like, that's something I do agree that we need to stop vilifying. We need to, like, actually, you know, deal with in the proper way.
When people come forward and they haven't committed something.
Okay. Well, I mean, correct. And on another subject with, like, people, the same that people that are addicted to drugs. I mean, we just, you know, throw them out on the street, you know, but there are other countries that have really good rehabilitation programs that are like, I need help. Most of the people...
Wait, are you saying jail or actual rehabilitation?
Actual rehabilitation.
Actual rehabilitation.
Gotcha. Go ahead. It's okay.
Yeah, there are places where, like, if you can't stop shooting up, but you really want to get help, they have facilities over, you know, in other countries where, like, you can safely shoot up and get yourself, you know, on a regimen that, like, gets you off of whatever drug you're addicted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Anybody else have anything else to say? We're going to move on.
We never got Michaela's view in the end.
Ooh.
No, I already...
Did you?
I already said something.
Luke will come back to people.
Yes, that's why I said, what if they just don't stop after they get, you know, their help? What do we do?
All right, so the next topic is, and the last topic, how bad has the internet messed up society?
Mm-hmm. Immensely.
Tremendously.
Explain, Luke.
It has created a disconnect between the physical reality and what people perceive the world to be. And that's just in general, even before the widespread use of internet with people's phones, just in terms of, like, cable news and everything else, it's just... It creates a worldview that they don't really realize. Like, if they were just act... Like, think about things that happen in their daily lives. Like, if all you're watching are people, you know, shootings that happen every single day, all these crazy things that are happening... Because when you're getting news from all around the world, it seems like that's happening in your everyday. Whereas you just go outside and it's like, oh, everything's fine. And that's before the pandemic and there was an increase in crime... I mean, there was a continual downward trend in overall violent crime, but people were saying the world's a more and more violent place because they were hearing more and more news stories, even though it wasn't actually happening in their daily lives.
When I do interviews for the company so that we can, you know, get different roofers and different people on the crew to do framing and roofing for the company, and... we never really have a problem, but like for people that to work in the office, it's starting to see a trend of people under the age of 25 having issues like communicating with other people and being around other people. It's always between the ages of like 21, 25, they're having these really weird issues of not being able to communicate. And How bad do you think the internet has been for people for people having like a ton of anxiety, a ton of depression?
I think that the internet has helped a lot of people with those problems come out of their shell, because they may be some sort of agoraphobic or just like not really have real good social skills, but they can communicate with people all over the world, and it gets them...
But is that good?
I think that's good.
But communicating in versus face-to-face, or...
Yeah.
You know, because that's what... Communication has changed in terms of what it means.
Yeah, like, when someone says, like, hey, I talked to so-and-so, like, you just text them or email them. You know, so they didn't really talk to them face-to-face. They didn't really call them. You know, go ahead.
I know we're saying the internet in a broad sense, but really, let's take it down to the nitty-gritty. Let's talk about smartphones.
Yeah.
Smartphones really have exponentially caused that lack of face-to-face socialization and personalization.
Yep.
And I see it. You see it with that, like you said, that younger generation, early 20s, and even worse with teenagers and younger than that. Just kind of having that non-confrontational mindset or that, you know, like you said, maybe needing a little bit of help with in-person social skills, so...
Yeah, that's a... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'll agree with the, like, communication skills being really shitty because of the internet, right? A, you can say anything you want online, and you're not going to get hit in the fucking face for it, right? Someone can call you a troll, and you'd be like, whatever, I do what I want. And you get... There's, like, no physical real-world...
implications.
Consequences.
Yeah.
Consequences, yeah. Right?
I think...
I think the internet... has done a wonderful job of sharing information and, like, being able to, like, look up and see things from all over the world is amazing and incredible. The problem is when you get into those bubbles, like Luke was talking about, where you're, like, seeing violence and you're just seeing the only the same things over and over again, right? You get into a bubble and it's so easy to just be in your bubble and, like, to get afraid of things or to be like, oh, everybody's racist or everybody's agrees with me, so I must be correct on this, and everybody, you know, like, oh no, there's no eggs, or the
what?
I'm just saying.
That was a real world problem.
Is that personal? Do you want eggs?
No, the farmers were all having issues.
That was a thing.
That was because of the flu.
That's why the eggs were so expensive.
You know what I mean? Like, you get into, like, weird bubbles based on what you're seeing, what you're watching, but... Yeah, and, like, nobody knows how to write emails or to, like, have full sentence conversations with people, and it's all just because they're on their smartphones or, like, you don't need to do things, and it's...
I think it's done two things.
It's done great things, but it's also done really shitty things.
Oh, yeah.
Because people don't know how to communicate
in
more than 2 seconds.
I do 100% believe, like, if you're someone who's able, who's an extrovert and is able to have... those social interactions with people, you are a very special person. Go ahead, Chelsea, and then Michaela, go next.
I've just noticed with, like, the age group you were talking about, like, a lot of younger people, like, low 20s and stuff, they, I guess, Jessica touched on this a little bit, they don't do good if, like, you have an opposing thought or an opinion or whatever it is. Like, they're so used to online just saying whatever they want, or I'll just block this person because they said this or they didn't agree with me. Like, they don't know how to, like, have a healthy, like, confrontation conversation. It's like you're so against their whole existence if you're just like, oh, I prefer, like, you know, this brand because I like what that person said. Just whatever. It's like the most minor things that you just really can't even oppose people anymore.
Go ahead, Michaela.
Nice. I think the internet gives people a false sense of confidence.
Yeah.
It really does. And a false sense of reality, because on the internet you can make your own world. Everything's fine. You can block people, like stuff, comment stuff, dislike, and no one's going to say everything. I mean, nothing's going to affect your real life because you can just shut your app off. It doesn't matter anymore. But it's like when you're in the real world, people don't know how to have conversations, how to, you know, just make those relationships with people because they're just so used to do whatever they want on the internet, and they feel like, oh, I can do this in the real world. They can't really, they can't bridge the gap between the internet and real world. So they get overwhelmed. Then no one likes them.
Do you think that's true for not just, like, the younger generation, but also, like, older people? Like, I see older people on their phones probably as much.
Yeah, but I don't think they have the same problems.
But they've had how many decades of communication?
I also feel like
that's
older people are using the internet for different things. Like,
yeah, I agree.
My dad reads the newspaper, and he looks at articles. And
yeah, that's true. Or sports,
like,
or something.
You
sports,
know,
yeah.
Looking into what you're interested in and more, like, funneling and, like, politics and shit than communicating with other people or being on message boards.
One thing that was brought up a while ago is, like, why there's so much talk about mental health and depression and anxiety that wasn't talked about with boomers. It was Gen X.
Gen X is
70s,
80s. Is the, like, yeah,
before millennials, but after boomers, right?
Okay, so, like, there wasn't a lot of talk with Gen X and boomers about anxiety. Mental health.
No,
depression.
Because they would get pills from their doctor, and, like, happy cocaine was in the Coca-Cola and shit like that. Like,
Not that late.
Yeah.
That's like 1880s, yeah. Not like 1980s.
Not the 1900s.
Like the 50s.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Gen X is were like born in like 70s to 80s.
I was like, yeah, it's like my parents.
The point
Yeah, but like what I'm saying is like boomers wouldn't talk about it because their parents wouldn't talk about it because you don't have a problem. Right?
So
just buck up.
And then therefore, you know, and like Gen X doesn't talk about it because they're all like, whatever. Because
their parents were never around.
Yeah, and then like millennials, we started to talk about it, but like, you know what I mean? It's talked about more now because you can find out information on it.
Every boomer and Gen X, I guess Gen Xer that I've talked to, they've all said the same thing. They've all said they believe that they didn't have all these problems, and that millennials and Gen Zers have these problems from phones. Is that they're trying to that people are trying to project these problems on Gen X and Boomers, but we never really had that problem. Go ahead, Amanda.
I think we all know the answer to the response to that, and it is double-edged. You know, on both sides. So perhaps millennials and Gen Zs identify more with having more mental issues and mental stigmas because it is being more talked about and you can learn more about your stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's really great and extremely helpful on the, you know, on the other side of that. The more information that you consume about it, the more it does affect you mentally and it can put you in a really dark place. And that's when you kind of have to have your own boundaries to pull away from those kinds of contents. But let's be real, we know that the generations before us, boomers and Gen X, have had mental health issues that were improperly handled. They were mishandled. They were, you know, shited, shut up about it. Don't talk about it. Oh, you're a crazy housewife. Like Jessica said, take some pills. You'll feel better. Smoking is good for the baby. All those crazy.
Who said that?
Oh, tobacco companies. Tobacco companies.
Alcoholics. Alcoholics. It was just like, oh man, that's just Fred.
You're also like fucking drinking at lunchtime and like and at work.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
They were coping.
But what I'm saying is like you were allowed to drink more often.
And they were coping. That's all they were doing in the generations before us were literally coping. They were literally using coping crutch mechanisms similar to what we still do now, but at least we're more confident to talk about our mental illnesses. And let's be real, if I'm a millennial or a Gen Z with a mental illness or some kind of childhood trauma, it's probably because a boomer or Gen X caused it anyway.
Well, maybe like a lot of, I also feel like a lot of Gen Xers and boomers, like, if they were going through that, some of them actually worked on it instead of like pumping themselves full of drugs. You know, all the things that you guys mentioned, I don't really know about, but I've been speaking with like boomers, speaking with Gen Xers, a lot of them say that, you know, that a lot of people are just being weak and complaining about stuff. There is mental health, there is depression, anxiety, but that some people are really just using it as a crutch to not go anywhere in life. Go ahead, Luke.
So for me, I definitely think that the earlier in age that people are exposed to technology, like especially cell phones, that definitely has an effect. I mean, because I didn't get my first phone until my freshman year in high school. And what that was, you know, that was just a little flip phone that didn't have any internet access or anything like that. So I think, you know, as kids get exposed to that technology earlier and earlier, I think that has an effect on their mental health overall in terms of handling their anxiety and just overall mental health. And second point is also, you know, there are people that definitely, you know, I don't want to stigmatize, you know, people that are on medication. As someone that's on antidepressants and anti-anxiety medicine myself, I will say that changed my life. Like, when I was put on medication, that finally gave me the stability to do things and live my life in a way that I had never been able to before that put me in such a good place. And, you know, some of that comes from, like, some of that is absolutely hereditary. Sometimes, like, you don't know what... Sometimes it's just luck of the draw. So a lot of that stuff you don't aren't able to control. And now, there are people that use it as a crutch. How it should be treated is, in combination with therapy, it should be used as a stepping stone to, as a way forward for your life. Question. But there are people that absolutely just use it as a crutch, and that's not how it should be treated.
I'm going to come to you, Michaela, real quick. I'm going to come to you, too, as well, Jessica.
I made good points, so he wants to talk about it.
Real quick.
Moving on.
Real quick. Moving on. We're going to go with McKenna. No, I'm joking. Luke, quick question. How do you think it's affected you socially, though?
So definitely, like, so taking, how I joined this group. So taking the leap from, you know, because when I joined this group, I didn't have a lot of friends. I was very kind of closed off socially. Like, because before the pandemic, you know, my socialization was pretty much work. And at the time, my relationship. And when I, after the pandemic happened, you know, for a while, I was like really lonely. Then I got a dog, which was great. I was super happy. Then a few months later, I was like, I need some new friends. Before, I had so much. So just to give you an idea, like when I was a kid, walking down like the hallways at school, I would think like, oh, people are looking at how I'm walking, and I'm walking the wrong way, or I'm talking the wrong way. And, you know, that was constantly in my head to the point where that was all consuming. And, you know, I was always just, it's described as being very fearful of how I was looked at and judged. And that was the interesting, a lot of it was all self-imposed. And that was just how I had always been growing up. Like, a lot of that wasn't really, like, taught or, and, you know, I wouldn't say, like, looking back, I was made fun of more than anyone else. A lot of that was self-imposed and just, you know, I remember I have cousins that would say, like, even as a little kid, you know, I was always very shy and nervous. And, you know, I would, like, someone say hi, right, hide behind my mom's leg. So that was just something I was born with.
Michaela? Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? Jessica, go ahead. No, come in, Michaela.
I was just going to say something that bounced off of what you said earlier, but I feel like we went off on a tangent.
Do you want me to come back to you? Michaela, go ahead.
Well, as a researcher, like as someone in the science field, I will say, not defending their behavior, back in their day, a lot of these issues were still being put in the DSM. Like, it was still being discovered and termed. Like, a lot of these things, they didn't know what it was supposed to be called.
Yeah.
And even if they did, they didn't have social media to bring it out and talk about it. Like, they had no idea what any of this stuff was called. So, of course, they were just like, oh, no, you're being soft or you're being this and that. Now we have the tools for social media and Googling everything. And we have all of these researchers speaking out on Facebook or CNN. So we know a lot more about these things. My issue with it is they know and they're stuck where they are.
Yeah.
Because I can understand you not being educated about it, but once you're actually being brought to light and you're being educated, it's your job, your duty to actually open yourself up and try to understand what your kids, your grandkids are going through.
Yeah.
What's funny, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, like I can say it now. because you bouncing off that, I think that a lot of people think that everybody thinks the way they think, right? Yeah. My brain is normal. Everybody else's brain works just like mine.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. But like,
you're right.
With the internet, you can see how many different ways people's brains work, right? Like some people have visual snow and like, you don't have a word for that. And people are like, what do you mean when you close your eyes, you can't imagine an actual apple? I can actually see one, or like I don't see anything, right? When someone tells you to imagine an apple or like see it in your mind's eye, like there's like so many, so like we have all of that on the internet to like see and to talk about and to discuss. So when people are like, oh, I'm anxious about this, you don't have your parents just being like, yeah, everyone's always anxious about that, anxiety's not a thing, like just get over it and go to the dance and whatever, you can type it on the thing. It's like, I think I'm people will be like, yeah, I'm anxious too, or like, no, man, that's weird. Like, you shouldn't feel that way. Maybe you need help. Like, there's, like,
different things. I actually want to ask you a question about that.
But also, back in the day, right, they would send people to asylums who, like, weren't you know, like, so it had a lot of fear. Like, if I'm depressed and I talk about this, they're going to send me somewhere where I'm not going to be taken care of. Or, like, I'm going to be treated like I'm, like, super crazy, but I'm not actually super crazy. I'm not hearing voices. I'm just feeling, so, like, you don't talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that still sometimes, I feel like the older generations are like, we don't talk about it because I'm not actually, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. I can live my life and do all these things. So why should I get help now?
Okay, because I'm gonna come to you, Chelsea, yes. But I have a quick question. I kind of want to direct it towards Jessica and Luke. So, so you brought up how you were walking down the hall, you were thinking people were looking at you funny or whatever, like the way you're walking, right, Luke?
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess my question is, like, people who don't experience that, like, are you born like that? I kind of have two questions, because also, when someone says, oh, don't worry about it, like, just get over it, you know, go to the dance, whatever like that, is that so wrong? Is that so wrong to do that?
It's not wrong to do that. I don't think, I mean, like, because, like, getting out of your comfort zone and pushing yourself to do things that you're uncomfortable with helps you to learn, mm-hmm. right? And to live and to, like, broach, you know, get beyond it.
So why can't we do that most of the time?
You can't predict what's going to happen. You could tell somebody, hey, don't worry about it, go to the dance. And they go to the dance.
And something and like, shit happens.
Uh-huh. And, or the flip side.
Something good happens.
Something, they say, you know what? I don't care. And they don't care what people think.
Yeah.
And they find a whole new
perspective in life. Yeah.
So you can't predict what's going to happen. You just have mm-hmm. to pull the trigger and know that tomorrow's another day.
Real quick, go ahead, Chelsea.
I just, I guess, kind of piggybacking off of everybody at this point, I was just going to say, for some people, anxiety and depression is genetic. And my grandma had it, but she didn't get treated for it. She, I don't even think, admitted that she had anxiety until she was maybe in her
60s. Wait, quick question. How do you know she had it?
Because now she has been. She takes anxiety meds now by her doctor. But she was probably in her 60s. Before her doctor was like, hey, I think you have anxiety. And they talked about things. And she was like, maybe I do. Well, she came to him with issues. And he said, could it be this? They did further things. But my mom also had it terribly. My mom was agoraphobic as a kid. She would hide from the mailman coming to the house. And it was like, oh, don't act like that. We don't want people to see us like that, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't something that she controlled. You know what I mean? It wasn't until she was old enough to get her own help to seek her own therapies, because like she didn't have that, all of the support always growing up that she needed. So then when my sister and I were growing up, it was
anxiety.
Yes. That's something that she physically could not control.
Hiding from the mailman.
Agoraphobia is like the fear of like being around other people.
So it's not anxiety.
It's a type of anxiety.
It's typically referred to as a social anxiety.
Okay. So that makes a little bit of sense. But when I hear someone say, oh, I felt nervous because I didn't want to go outside because I didn't want to socialize with people because I felt something might go wrong. Well,
but that's the fear. Because the thing is like, because she took the steps to get herself help, because it's something that we now talk about versus them saying, oh, no, it's fine. You'll grow out of it. It's fine. Blah, blah, blah. Now my sister and I both grew up with a much better understanding. So it's just, it's different. And there are different types of anxieties. And I think what people don't understand is it's literally how you're, people do use it as a crutch, but sometimes it's how your brain is wired. Like your body just reacts to that. Mm-hmm. And
I personally think there needs to be more testing on it because from what I hear about anxiety, it has nothing to do with what you just said. That to me is hold on, I gotta get the cord real quick.
Well, that's why medication makes you feel better because
I just feel like medication you're pumping yourself.
It's about your question of
go ahead
about like nice is it just better to just tell people to get over it? I don't think so. It's like it's hard because if you want to be like self-actualized, like happy and stuff, that is kind of on the person. They have to like make decisions on their own. They have to like take initiative to like find friends and like find things in common. But on the other side, it's good to have medication and doctors to like get people to that level if they have like some bio like chemical imbalance in their brain.
Yeah.
It's also good to talk about it with like therapy. It's good that it's being normalized.
You're right about that.
People understand like, oh, this is what depression feels like. Oh, this is what agoraphobia
feels
like.
I do understand. I just don't understand certain things. Like if you're scared to, let's say you're scared to have people over your house, I just don't understand. Like, get well, over no, it. I get. I'm sorry. I have to get to Luke.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And then I'll come to you. Okay. Go ahead, Luke.
So the way to understand it. So
keep it short, though, Luke.
We've all seen, like, you know. People will say, oh, I'm so OCD. Like, no. Like, people that are actual OCD, they have a compulsion that is a detriment to their lives where they will do things because there is such an impulse to act like I have to have this a certain way, or they have to scrub their hands until the hands are almost bleeding. Ooh. So that's because everyone experiences anxiety. That is a natural human emotion. Mm-hmm. Now, some people experience it at different levels. Where it becomes an anxiety disorder is where it's having an active negative effect on your life. Whereas where someone comes to the house, like the mailman, you have a compulsion, a fight or flight response that you cannot control that causes you to act in a certain way. It's not rational. It's a completely irrational, based animalistic instinct that controls how you act. Yes. And that's where it becomes a disorder. Because again, people feeling anxious and others like, that's normal. It's when you code to the different level, that's where it becomes a disorder.
Yeah. How do we know what level is? Go ahead, Jamal. Oh. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I get where
you're coming from. Last word too.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from because I'm not a big fan of pumping people full of pills. I feel like we've been just fucking throwing them out there because they're like, oh, you think you have this condition? Take two of these. Take two of these for the rest of your life. And sometimes there's not a path to the sometimes there's not a finish line.
Yeah.
They're just like, hey, take this, it'll solve your problem. And I feel like there's a lot of other ways that you could figure out. Everybody's different. Everybody, you know, should educate themselves about what they think they might have. But pills aren't going to be
They're
solution.
Never a catch-all.
Yeah. They're never going to be a solution for everybody. And they're never going to be a long-term solution for a lot of people. And I mean, just a side note, I feel like mushrooms and no, it's
there are support drugs, but he is
there
right.
There are studies.
No, there's a lot of studies right now that psychedelics help people through certain traumas,
especially
instead
traumas.
Of over medicating.
As a kid, I was given I was given lithium, and then I was given Ritalin. And by the time I was 16, 17, they just said, oh, this kid's just hyper. That's it.
Yeah, they prescribed this shit too, and I just stopped taking it.
Yeah,
I don't need this shit.
Yeah, I stopped taking because it would calm me down, but like it's like I need to be active because I'm playing sports and all that type of shit. Mm-hmm. So like I really don't believe in pumping people full of medication. Last word for real, Amanda. Okay. All right, guys, we just had a long conversation.
About the internet.
But keep listening, thank you.
Yeah. I do have one last thing to say about the internet.
Go ahead.
That's crazy.
Knowledge is power, but power also comes with a lot of responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Uncle Ben.
Yeah. No, Spider-Man. Jamal. Oh, yeah, you're right. Uncle Ben.
Uncle Jamal.
Wait,
don't
white,
question me.
Wait, white Ben, Uncle Ben, or black Uncle Ben?
We'll never know.
Spider-Man is in the Spider-Verse, man.
Spider-Man, it could be whichever.
Both.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.